Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As a dew of Hermon, and as a dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The power of brotherly love. It is observed that when a man climbs the ladder of success, the higher he goes, the more enemies he will find. And so there is a Chinese saying, they are talking bad of the king behind his back. Now, King David had many enemies, but the three worst enemies are Shimei, Ahithophel, and so surprisingly, his own son, Absalom. But God also gave him many supporters, loyal people who stood together to make their king. So in Chronicles, there is a list of 30 captains. And of the 30 captains, there are three that have enacted a drama that we all should know. One day, David was thirsting for the cool, refreshing waters of the well in his hometown, Bethlehem. When we lived in Bethlehem, I had the opportunity of seeing this well, a big well. But at that time, the well and the city of Bethlehem were occupied by the Philistines. So the three captains went there to fetch water from the well of Bethlehem had taken their lives into their own hands by breaking through the Philistines' ranks. When they brought back the water to the king, King David declared, "This is the blood of the three men. How can I drink it?" And he poured it on the ground as an offering to the Lord. This is the type of brotherly love that David was talking about. The brotherly love is not the love of natural brothers, but of spiritual brothers. If they were also natural brothers, it would be doubly pleasant. In order to keep his followers straight, David wrote the Psalm, Psalm 101, which you may turn and follow as I read. He said, "If you want to be my friend, then you have to be loyal and honest." I would tell you that I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart, a crooked heart, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him would I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. There was a great Christian philosopher by the name of Saint Augustine. And in short, he said this to his students. He was head of a monastery. I will not allow any one of you to speak any word bad behind the back of anyone. So that is how David kept the brotherly love that is between him and his followers correctly, honoring the Lord. But oftentimes, when we come to church that is a gospel center, we become gossipers and make it a gossip center. And in the report on men and things, we often twist them. Watch our lips and watch our tongue. But how wonderful it is to say words that edify, particularly the seniors, when they consider the juniors and they have really done a good work, to say a word of commendation. And how the junior person will be edified and further encouraged to do that which is good. By way of illustration, to the contrary, I have always been the teacher of homiletics. In the Bible College, we have a class training how to preach. When this new lecturer took over my class, he was so arrogant that the best student would have his sermon torn to shreds, so that they become very nervous. I had an older student, he is over 90 years old now, Norwegian missionary to China. And when he preached his first sermon in China, because of his lack of Chinese, all the old missionaries pecked on him like the old hands pecking on the young hand. And he told me that he became a nervous wreck ever since. But praise the Lord, when he came to Singapore, by our very kind consideration, and I always, in the commentary by the class, say I can't work for him. He was slowly restored. And he went out on missions on my behalf to preach. It is important how our speech goes. By saying kind words to them that are young, we build them up. And so they have the confidence. Now, what does David say about the power of brotherly love? The power of brotherly love is very sweet smelling, very fragrant. It is like a special ointment that goes to anoint the high priest. It is a very special concoction. The recipe is given by the Lord Himself. And He says that it is so sweet that every drop of it is precious. From the ointment that is applied on the head, that flows down to the beard, and then down to the garment. It is very important that we preserve the fragrance. And so, when the leadership of the church has this brotherly love, it is what Solomon says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Then he says the power of brotherly love is like a dew of Mount Hermon, over 9,000 feet high. From the high mountain of Hermon, the dew falls on the mountains of Zion that are about 2,700 feet, from the high to the low. And what life-giving strength this dew brings to Mount Zion. By the afternoon, with a very hot sun and no rain, the grassland becomes parched brown, like dying. But after a night's descent of the dew of Hermon, it turns it from brown to green. What a life-giving substance it is for elder brothers to help younger brothers, all in the same faith. And how we need this today, that the church may progress and may prosper. Such life-giving power is embodied in the saying, famous saying in the time of Moses and Joshua, that one will chase 1,000 and two will chase not 2,000 but 10,000. And this is very well illustrated in the episode of Moses sending 12 spies into the Holy Land to Canaan to find out the condition of the land. There were 10 who had no faith, who relied on their own judgment, and they came back with a very dismal report. They had adopted a grasshopper complex. He said, "We are scared to death. The people in the land are giants, and we look like grasshoppers before them. They will just eat us up." And as a result of their evil report, The whole congregation of the children of Israel went into mourning. So here it shows us again how important the tongue is. James has a whole chapter, chapter 3, on the power of the tongue. It can bring life, it can bring death. So let us all watch our speech. But there were two of a different mold who had fully the faith of God in them. Whatever they said was to promote God. These two men were Caleb and Joshua, or Joshua and Caleb. And they gave a totally different version. It's very interesting that a thing can be said in a negative totally, and it can be said in a positive, depending on what ground you stand. So Joshua and Caleb said that if the Lord delight in us, is the Lord with you? Is the Lord happy with what you do? Well, then that's simple. He will help us to take the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he will put fear in the heart of the enemy so that their defense is totally lost and they have become bread to us. So let us not fear them, let us go in and take the land. As a result of this report, the Lord was well pleased with those that have the faith in him. What happened to the ten? Because of the evil report, a plague broke out. And the ten spies, who were fearful, were consumed by the plague and they died. But what happens to Joshua and Caleb? They were blessed to live right through the 40 years wilderness journey and to take a leadership. And Joshua lived up to 110 years. And Caleb lived beyond 85. At the age of 85, he came to claim Hebron to be his property because he had defeated the enemy there. And he told Joshua, after 45 years, I still have the strength to go out for war and to come in as it was 45 years ago. Long life is a sign of God's blessing. Like Moses, God used him in three periods of 40 years. 40 years of training in Egypt, 40 years of training in the desert, and 40 years of leading the children of Israel through the desert into the promised land, the first part of the promised land. And the Bible says that his health did not abate, nor did his eyes become blurred. He was as a young man. If you want God's blessing on your life, and long life is what everyone wants, Though a brother told me, oh, I don't like to live too long. 60 years old is enough. And yet he lived up to 70. Because he lived a righteous life. The power of brotherly love is seen in the two who chased 10,000. Because they were right. Because they trusted the Lord. And we would like to pray that the Lord will give us this wonderful heavenly life of David and his friends. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Today there is a statement in our weekly, and I'd like to turn to it, a statement of reconciliation. I have been away for 1 month in Perth, and I was not here, and there was a debate between two parties in the church. But it dawned finally that it was a work of futility, that we all need to repent before the Lord. I shall read this statement. A statement of reconciliation. For the past 52 years, Life Baby Church has been holding forth the word of life and upholding the use of the King James Version, which is the best English translation of the scriptures made by godly translators from the best Greek and Hebrew texts. Among all English Bibles today, there is none that can surpass the KJV. We believe that this statement on the KJV, being the very word of God and fully reliable, which was arrived at after the careful deliberation of the Board of Elders, is acceptable by all other members of the session. If you say the Bible, the KJV is the very word of God and fully reliable, and we say that we have a perfect Bible, it amounts to the same thing. It is the very word of God. It must be perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Torah, the law in the Old Testament, refers to the Bible. And thus we should continue to exclusively use the KJV for all ministries of the church and for our members' use, and refrain from all modern English versions such as the RSV, NASV, and NIV. The interesting thing about the NIV is my teacher, Dr. R.L. Harris, was the chairman of the Old Testament department. And in those days, we never knew about the dangers of the text of the NIV that was Wesley the Hort, who denied every doctrine of the Bible, who denied the virgin birth, who denied the resurrection. All these are attested. But I thank God that in 1992, Dr. D.A. Wade, PhD, THD, came to speak at Calvary BP Church. And we learned that there is a doctrine of preservation kept pure in all ages according to Westminster Confession of Faith, that we woke up. And we believe that God has preserved the text. A perfect God must give us a perfect Bible. And so, both the parties in dispute agree, because we say The KJV is a very word of God and fully reliable. Well, my teacher, Dr. R.L. Harris, having read my new understanding of the Bible, could not take it. And so he said to me, "Timothy, I have no need of your publications. Don't send them to me." So this is my testimony of how his conscience has been pricked. That's why we here say, not NIV. One of the many deficiencies of these modern English versions is that they are based on the corrupted Westcott and Hort Greek and Hebrew texts, while the KJV is based on the uncorrupted family of the Greek received texts and the Masoretic Hebrew texts. In the last few months, a debate has arisen within our church concerning the Greek received text and the Masoretic Hebrew text underlying the KJV. We have come to the conclusion that neither of the views propounded is dogma but personal conviction and preference. We confess our sins, the whole board of elders. We confess our sins and repent before God that we have caused grief, consternation, and confusion. We pray that God will forgive us and that He may enable us to serve Him more lovingly and zealously till He comes. I am very happy that the church is now at peace. And one of these Sundays, we will all come, the whole session, to the front to sing perhaps the song of brotherly love that I published just now. When we are at peace, the people glorify God for the authority that rules over them. And I pray that the whole church will now be at peace with one another and be like David's followers, to be living in the pleasantness and unity of brotherly love. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, You have stated that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. May this peace that has been brought in by this statement rule over the whole church, and help us, Lord, to be kindly affectionate one to another and forget all the past, to put them under the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. All to His glory we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.